This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by the friends of KUHF Houston.
Today, let us forget names. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. Naming is an ancient human fixation linked to power and authority. How does Genesis tell of Adam's importance? It says he was empowered to name birds and beasts. Today, bosses often assert power by nicknaming underlings. iPhones let us nickname the people we often call. We are still empowered by naming. And we value our own names. We flinch when they're mispronounced. We like to hear them said. That's why fundraisers put as many names as they can on new buildings, one on the building itself, several on special rooms, many more on donor plaques. The famous bullfighter Manolete died after he stood his ground too long before a charging bull. Someone asked as he lay bleeding why he hadn't moved. "For that, I am Manolete," he replied. His name, it seems, was more important than his life. All this naming goes a bit crazy in our technologies. Think about diseases. Yellow fever and bubonic plague are identifiers that tell us something. But I doubt one listener in 1,000 will recognize Collars, Forbes, or Pott's disease. Once we say the clinical name of Collars' disease, multiple myeloma, it's clearly a kind of cancer. Or take the units of frequency, cycles per second. It was renamed the Hertz in 1960. What a silly thing to do. Once it was self-explanatory, now it is not. Astronomers have wisely tried to skirt this sort of naming. They keep ancient astrological naming since it provides useful mnemonics. Still, they are under constant pressure to honor this or that person. Keepers of the periodic tables are pretty much caved in to the use of people's names, but ideas ultimately trump names. Think about our precious treasury of ideas. They are so valuable that we want to name them as well. We put Edison's name on the light bulb and Bell's on the telephone, but they were only two among countless others who shaped those ideas. Shakespeare had something to say about that in A Midsummer Night's Dream. His character Theseus pondered the human imagination and said, "The poet's eye in fine frenzy rolling doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, and as imagination bodies forth the forms of things unknown, the poet's pen turns them to shapes and gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name." New ideas are born in that fine frenzy of thinking. We eventually bring them home to earth where we can name them. Call an idea relativity theory. Call it the Odyssey. Call it steam engine. Sure, people gave us those ideas, but power and identity fade while the fruit of human thought remains. Good ideas like the wheel or the arch are in use long after their inventors' names have faded away, and that is, in fact, a good thing. I'm John Leinhard at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.